What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 450, and we've done 450 episodes, which is crazy. So, of course, with me is my co-host Ryan, and this week's episode is brought to you by ASRock. If you go to ASRock.com, of course, they have a ton of cool stuff. Of course, I've been a fan of ASRock for a very long time. I was always like, when they introduced the Tai Chi line, I was like, I'm sold on this because it gave you, especially for like the longest time, and still it gives you such a good value for the money. And they've recently got into graphics cards as well. Of course, I reviewed the first Tai Chi graphics card a while back, and they're doing both AMD and Intel parts for their graphics cards. You can check them out again at ASRock.com. Of course, Ryan, his new test system has an ASRock motherboard in it as well.
Yeah, I've got the B650 Steel Legend Wi-Fi in there. So we've got a 7600X paired up with that. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, your standard kind of like just that Steel Legend look, right? The white and silver, good looking board, lots of features. You know, it's got some integrated RGB on there, tons of headers for like fans and extra RGB, Wi-Fi.
Which one is it? The
B650 Steel Legend Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Oh wait, that's 560.
Nope. Yep. You're down too far.
No, these are all Intel.
Those are all Intels. Yeah.
Oh, what?
They're almost down.
Right down. If I knew how to internet.
There you go. Steel Legend Wi-Fi.
That one's not it.
No.
There we go. The white one.
Yeah, it's a good looking board, you know, reinforced PCIe slots, just everything you need, right? Lots of USB ports, which I like. It's great.
Definitely check out ASRock if you haven't. I know a lot of people are like can be hesitant to try a new brand when it comes to a graphics card or motherboard, but I've tested a ton of these boards over the years and haven't had a single issue. So definitely give them a try, whether you're shopping online or just check out ASRock.com. Of course, we thank them for their support of the podcast.
Yeah. And I think they're a brand that, like, I don't think you know, like you said, like some people are kind of sometimes scared of like maybe they may consider it to not be like upper echelon top tier brand. Like ASRock is like perfectly fine. They make quality products, right? And they've shown that year after year. Definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, for sure. So we have a lot to talk about on the podcast this week. Of course, RX 9060 XT, I reviewed one. We'll be talking about that. Ryan has a review. I also have a really awesome keyboard that is incredibly affordable and pretty awesome for the price. Pretty insane RTX 5090 scam that was going on, which you won't believe. It's probably one of the craziest stories of the year. We have some pretty cool graphics cards coming out from MSI and Asus. We have Nintendo Switch 2 stuff, and we possibly could be getting a new version of one of the most popular mice to ever exist in the world. We might finally be getting a new version. So a lot to talk about. We do have our full show notes page here that has everything that we're going to be talking about. So if you want to follow along, all of the articles are here. Everything is here. So you can either check back later, or if you're watching live, you can follow along with us as well. So we'll start out with the 9060 XT. And I'm going to say it before I even get into everything. Products that have two different VRAM sizes should be called different things. Just going to say it. I've said it with NVIDIA, and I'm just going to say it with AMD too. We should have just one VRAM. If it's the 9060 XT, it's 16 gig or, you know. But we do have two different versions, 16 gig and 8 gig. And just like NVIDIA, AMD didn't sample anybody an 8 gig version, and we probably know why. But this is the card that I had the chance to take a look at. So this is from Sapphire. It's their flagship card on the 9060 XT series. Actually, I should go this way.
Good looking card.
And this is their Nitro Plus. It's my first time taking a look at a Nitro Plus card. One of my favorite things is they have a full-on side plate Like a lot of cards don't have a side plate. They may have something here, but full on side plate with, you can see the Radeon logo there. This is an RGB strip, which looks really great. No weird connector, 8-pin PCI Express, and full on metal backplate here with the pass-through cooling that you can see the opening. There's also an ARGB connection. They include a cable, so you can connect this to your motherboard if you want like all of the effects in your system to be the same. You have all that. This is a 2.7 slot card, two HDMI, and a single display port there. That's like the gist of what Sapphire is offering in their high-end. This is a $50 premium over the MSRP. Now, we don't know if you can get it at that price. That's what Sapphire told us, and that's how GPUs have kind of rolled out this year. Yeah. With MSRP, and then you can never find it for that price. So we'll see on the pricing. Next Gen C in the chat, he said for 2025, the minimum should be 12 gig. Yeah, I kind of agree. For the, it depends. I mean, 1080p gaming, which with this card is kind of targeted at, you can get away with 8 gig. Depending on what you're doing. So, but yeah, I would have rather have seen a 12 gig and a 16 gig for the 9060 XT. I think that would have definitely made them even more competitive against.
Exactly.
But as you'll see, they are very competitive against NVIDIA with this card, just like they were with the 9070 XT as well. And I will say, just in general, this is a 1080p card for most instances. In our testing, without any FSR4 upscaling or anything like that, or even ray tracing turned on, just like pure performance, we average 111 FPS across the games that we tested. So that's going to be really good. Now you can go up to 1440p, but again, you are going to get a decent hit in performance. I would say if you wanted to do anything above 1080p, enable FSR4 upscaling. It doesn't look as bad as it previously did, and you'll get really good performance. I would not recommend this for 4K. I don't know why you're buying this card if you have a 4K monitor. It just doesn't make any sense, you know, in general to do that. The big change in the thing that sucks for people who maybe have a 7000 series card from AMD is that AMD really increased ray tracing performance. They essentially caught up with NVIDIA. So for the longest time, raw performance was kind of close, you know, in the past few generations. But when you enabled ray tracing, or games that need ray tracing, which I'll talk about, it was always just like NVIDIA's way up here and then AMD's way down here. Now they're pretty much even. So if we compare this card directly to the 5060 Ti, which I reviewed, so I have all the data, it's about 3 to 4% faster than the 9060 XT at raw performance. With ray tracing enabled, it's about 3 to 4% faster at raw performance. So AMD essentially caught up with ray tracing. And you may think, oh, that I don't care about ray tracing, right? Like, it's whatever. But there are so many games, brand new games, that require ray tracing. Black Myth Wukong is one of those games. I mean, I think maybe Doom is one of those games too, where like it has to be turned on. So that's what's really important. And that's, I think, the biggest thing that people are kind of not seeing with the 9000 series is that with RDNA 4, AMD really improved the ray tracing performance. So you're going to be on par. You're not going to get that performance hit that you previously got with the previous generation. I think that is the biggest thing. Like I said, the 5060 Ti, let's look at pricing. I'll just, if we can find one for sale. Do you think we can find one for sale?
Yeah, you might be out of luck there. I don't know.
Let's see. 5060 Ti, because it was like, what, 420? Here's 500 for a Zotac Gaming. 489, 565. Man, these prices are horrible. 473. That's on.
You're looking at the 16 for a 16 gig, right?
Yeah. 16 gig. Micro Center. Let's go to Micro Center.
Yeah, 489, 499.
Yeah, looks like.
I found a 473.
Yeah, that's still kind of high. I think the lowest you could get. 5060 Ti, 429. So you can get one 429. So that's how much it is. The MSRP of this card is $350. Can you get it? Don't know.
Exactly.
But for that little bit of difference, I would say the 9060 XT is actually a better buy. It's at most 3 to 5%, and actually beats the 5060 Ti. Just like games are better optimized for AMD or NVIDIA, it will go back and forth depending on the title. But with ray tracing improved and the things that AMD is working on, and like no issues with heat, no issues with noise levels, none of that, none of those issues either. Power consumption's good too. So it's a very solid contender. Now, from what I saw, at least in the UK, like Overclockers UK, they posted their mound of cards, yeah. Which was actually kind of funny. I reposted it on X here. Let me find it. Here it is. Bring that up. So like they had a ton at launch, and these were the Pulse cards, which were the MSRP cards. I think just like with the 9070 XT, there was a good amount of availability. Can you pick one up now? Let's go. Let's 9060 XT. So can we actually buy these? So the 9060 XT Steel Legend from ASRock, and there's another ASRock available, $349, $389. So this is MSRP. This one's not. Can we actually buy it or go pick it up? Let's just add to list.
Buy in store.
Where do you see that?
Green, right above add to list.
Buy in store. Add to your list.
58 or 10 minute or whatever pickup, not available.
No, this is not available. I don't know if this is actually available, but in any case, there were cards at like their respective MSRPs available, which I think is good. And I think the big thing with this launch too is you kind of realize that, like, I think AMD is doing good by gamers. I don't know how you feel, Ryan, about like this generation, the 50 series compared to the 9000 series from AMD, but it's just like, I feel there's a big disconnect with NVIDIA when it comes to what gamers want. And I think AMD is at least trying to give gamers what they want, whether that's availability. Like they said, they focused on a couple SKUs so that they can have massive availability. And they didn't launch the cards till they had that massive availability. So on day one, if you did want to buy a card, you could. And then you weren't subjected to scalpers and all of
that. Yeah. I mean, we talked about it back at CES, like where we knew these cards were coming, but like we just, they wouldn't give us any info on them, right? I think that was probably to gamers' benefits so that they could build up that stock and have them ready. I kind of feel that's accurate. You know, NVIDIA is so more diversified than they used to be 5-10 years ago when GPUs were their moneymaker, right?
Yeah.
For the most part, true. They've got so many other things that they're working on that are making them so much more money that I think, you know, we're just, it's not the same NVIDIA that we were all used to. And I think that's just, you know, going to keep continuing that way for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. So I'm pretty happy with this card overall. I really didn't run into any issues. FSR4 works. The only upside that I would say, if you are looking at a 5060 or 5060 Ti over a 9060 XT, is that one, with DLSS4, you get multi-frame generation. With FSR4, you only generate a single frame. So you can exponentially increase your frame rate if you wanted to. Now, again, everybody calls all that fake frames, but if you're somebody who makes use of that, you're going to get a better, I don't know if you would call it experience, but you're going to get more frames of higher FPS when it comes to an NVIDIA card. And like we've always said, AMD has gotten so much better when it came to software or, you know, software package, but NVIDIA does still have a better software stack when it comes to like NVIDIA broadcast and some of the other stuff. AMD has caught up when it comes to that as well. But those are the two big things that I would say NVIDIA beats out AMD on this card. But pricing, availability, really fixing performance when it comes to ray tracing is a good thing. And like, again, no heat issue, no power issue, no Doesn't sound like a rocket ship. All things that we've had issues with AMD cards in the past, it's not present on this card. If you do want to check out, I did a full video. It's in the article. It's on our YouTube if you want to check it out as well on the 9060 XT. And again, specifically the card from Sapphire. And I think, too, another thing that I noticed, AMD cards don't have as high as as high of an MSRP bump as far as like aftermarket cards, only a $50 right. bump. Whereas like we've seen like, I mean,
hundreds of dollars.
I mean, I get it when it comes to like Astrals and stuff, but yeah. $300 over MSRP price.
Yeah, it's kind of,
you're not seeing it as high on the AMD side, at least from what I've seen. So that's kind of my thoughts. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to add on the 9060 XT.
I mean, I guess I go back to your original statement about like the naming convention and like, you know, I'd be perfectly happy if this was a 9060 XT was the 8 gig and a 9065 was a 16 gig, just some sort of differentiator. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Or like an XT and non XT.
Right. Yeah. That too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or XT and XTX.
We don't know if we're going to see a 9060. There is no, we don't.
Just a straight. Yeah.
Yeah. So don't know. But I think, you know, we talk about how NVIDIA has all these SKUs at different price points, every $50. Whereas, like, again, AMD really concentrated on a couple SKUs this time, not competing at all in the high end and, you know, putting out the SKUs for gamers. I think it worked out in their favor, at least this time. And again, they're not necessarily like beating NVIDIA, especially not when it comes to like market share, but they're making a better name for themselves in the enthusiast and gamer community, which I think is a good thing. So yeah, so we'll move on to Ryan, and you took a look at another AIO from Trikes, and
imagine that, right?
Yeah, I know, they should have been a sponsor of this episode, I feel. But we'll add you in here. Yeah, we'll add you in here. Wait, how do I? There we go.
There it is.
There it is.
Yeah, so I looked at another Trikes Panorama AIO, this time just the Panorama. We had previously looked at the SE. This is just the Panorama 360. Got this one in white this time, but they do offer it in black as well. And they also offer multiple sizes. So, you know, we've stuck with the 360 form factor, but they do offer a 240, 280, and 360 with this. And as all of their Panorama coolers have, they've got that 6.5-inch curved AMOLED screen, so let's just.
I've been thinking about getting one of these for my.
Yeah, what about the stage though? The stage will be coming out.
I have nothing. You know what? I do have something to put on the stage. I have my little MSI.
You gotta get something cooler than that.
I don't have any little thing. Everybody at Computex in Taiwan was buying all these figures, buying these Labubus,
yeah.
All these things. I wasn't buying anything, but this is the only little guy I have. There was like Dragon Ball Z figures I could have bought.
The stage, I think, will do a better job of making it look more in depth, because they've got Trikes does do some screens where they make it look like it's inward instead of outward. I think the stage will be better at that, just natively, right? So yeah, pretty standard AIO as far as what this comes with. Again, like everything else, coming with all of your AMD and Intel. Yeah, yeah.
Can I ask you again? Fans come attached?
Yeah.
Pre-applied thermal paste or no?
Yes.
Okay. This is an easy one.
And it comes with additional thermal paste as well, which is great.
Oh, that is nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Because a lot of times you'll just get like the pre-applied and that's it. And you're like, well, if I screw up, if it's, you know, your first time installing one, you're like, oh, I put it on and I screwed up something, right? Yeah. Anyways. So yeah, they do give you some additional paste there as well with it. Let's move on here, get a closer look. Yes, so they do have pre-applied fans. Now they're not RGB fans, but they're pretty nice fans, to be honest. They're like a really high, I forget the full name of the material, but I did talk about it in there, the blades of the fans, which I'll get to in a minute. But yeah, they come pre attached to the radiator. They're also daisy chained with pogo style connections. So you don't have to worry about cabling in between. Really, really cleans this thing up as far as cable management goes on the radiator and fans. White tubing, white body on there. But I like the gray color on the fan blades. It just, you know, adds a little tint of color, not purely white there. So keep that in mind if that's something you care about. This is a little thicker AIO radiator as well. Usually we see a standard 27 millimeter thickness. This one is 30. So you've got a little more surface area on those fins for air to pass over, right? So you have a little additional, again, surface area for cooling. So potentially better performance. That means you also need some fans that can push air through there a little easier, a little better. And the fans that come with this are their 120 millimeter Rota SL Pro fans. And they do have plenty of static pressure to move air through there theoretically. But as we found out last week on the AIO that came with fans that had no specifications, they did pretty well as well. But anyhow, pretty standard tubes here, crimped connections on the end. Here's a quick look at the pump housing here. Now, this panorama version is a little different than the SE because you cannot reorient this screen physically. The SE allowed you to kind of pull it off and rotate it in 90 degree increments. This one is stuck in this orientation. So keep that in mind. You know, you can't rotate this one around. So if that's a limitation to you, just something to think about there. But super like nice screen, and I'll get to some images of it here in a second when it's turned on. But 2K resolution, 6.5 inches in size, really high contrast ratio, 1,000,000 to 1, 60 hertz refresh rate. So the images and the animations that come with the software, really clear.
It's so funny how like we've gone from like
just
no screen to like kind of crappy screens, but just it was the coolest thing when we had the crappy screens. Yes. Now we have like 60 hertz. This is AMOLED.
Yeah.
So yeah, 60 like, hertz, curved AMOLED, can put anything you want on it, can play
movies. Yeah, it's got its own CPU in it, right? It's got a 4-core CPU, 2 gigs of RAM, 8 gigs of storage, so it uses hardly any system resources on your machine, right? So it's doing all of the processing, which is really nice.
Just the progression, right?
Yeah,
It's gotten so good.
It's a computer in your computer.
Yeah.
Pretty plain. Other than that, are on the exterior, as far as this, other than the screen goes. But this piece also comes off, and I'll show you why here in a second. But one side, which is the side that's back towards your like your IO shield and connections, there's a ventilation panel here with some mesh and a little bit of grill here. And that's because underneath, if you pull the top off, it does come off. You just can't reorient it. There is a fan in there for your VRMs. Right. So we've seen this on like the Ryujin 3. And, you know, we've seen it on other coolers as well. But it just adds a little area cooling to the components around your CPU, which is always really nice. And that just pulls off. It's held on by magnets, makes its connections, again, via some kind of pogo contact style connections. And then you just have a USB 2 cable that comes out and plugs into a motherboard header in your system, and you're good to go. There's that pre-applied thermal paste, as well as the universal mounting bracket. Those screws that are in the corners, they can shift in and out just a little bit to adapt between AMD and Intel mounting solutions. So yeah, again, you don't have to, you know, pull a set of clips off or, you know, another bracket to switch between AMD and Intel. It's all just right there for you, which is nice. There's those fans again, rubber pads at the end, again, pogo style connections in between them. One thing I didn't like though about the pogo style is, I mean, they're spring loaded, the magnet is pretty good, but there's no like keying. And what I mean by that is there's no notches or any sort of mechanism to keep this connection lined up properly. So it could slide, because while the magnets are decently strong to hold it on, they don't hold it in place like up and down or left and right.
Yeah. So maybe if you were like taking this somewhere, or
it could slide down, and now your four, you know, your 5 volt is on your, you know, your signal connection or whatever, and you could put it on there backwards, right? So you could have everything flipped around, and there's no keying. So like I looked at the instruction manual for this because I thought it was just going to pop on and key in like we've seen with everything else. Nope, not the case. So kind of a little bit of a flaw there. I hope that they fix that, but. This is the correct orientation, just in case you're wondering. So that, yeah, that was a little funky there, but other than that, pretty straightforward AIO. Installation was super easy. Comes with some alternate brackets for your AMD processor there. Lines up with the screws that are on there, and you wire it up. I mean, it's super straightforward. There's nothing to install this for the most part. As far as performance goes, idle performance was pretty good. Right up there with our best performing AIO that we've previously taken a look at. Load performance was pretty good as well. Came in like second to third place most of the time for the most part there. So really good performance. Same thing with noise output. Now, when we cranked this thing up to like its maximum RPM, which is right about like 2250 RPM on those fans, it gets pretty loud. But again, you drop it down to 1000 RPM and still get the benefit of good cooling and quiet performance, it's going to be just fine. Well within, very close to all the other coolers we've taken a look at previously. This does work with their Canali software. So I really like this software as well. It's really basic, but it's really intuitive and easy to use. I've been using a bunch of softwares with these AIOs over the years. Some are easier than others. Some are just intuitive compared to others. This one's really intuitive. I really like what they've done here. But it can give you some specifications and give you a dashboard. But then when you're like working on controlling or configuring this cooler, there's 14 pre-installed animations, and all of them are really good. Like some of them are space themed. There's one with like plants, just factory things, also like action figures running around, cartoon guys, anime stuff. So you can add those animations. You can also add, you can see there at the bottom, like you want to watch your CPU temp, your GPU temp, you can put that as an overlay on top of these animations. And you can also configure it to be either, you know, on the left, just a single image across that wide screen, or you can split it up into two images and show different types of content or material. Nice. On each one of those sides. You can also upload files and run like your own movie. So if you wanted to watch a movie on there, as long as it's under 500 megs,
yeah,
you could just throw a video file on there, right?
Yeah.
So lots of cool stuff you can do with that screen, and it looks really good. Those animations, like I said, are super fluid with that 60 hertz screen. So yeah, it just looks really good. Here's one of those kind of animated videos that was by default with this screen. Another one here, a little organic, and like all the hairs on this purple ball like move as well. And it just looks great, right? It's like hair physics on your cooler,
yeah.
Which is kind of cool. So
nice.
Overall, I gave it, and you might think, oh, this has got to be like a 10 out of 10 or a 9 out of 10. I actually gave it an 8. And the reason is it's expensive. It is $350. Nice. Which seems really high for me when the fans aren't RGB and there's that ambiguity with the connector. Like, spend a little more time refining those fan connections so that I can't screw it up, right? Give me some fans that, you know, have some lighting to them, and then I'm good. But what you do get is good performance. You get this nice screen. You get the VRM cooler underneath, right? You've got some cost associated with it there. Performance-wise, it did well, right? Good performance, idle and load. That fan connector ambiguity and the cost just really kind of dropped this down. If this was like the best performing cooler out of all of ours so far, probably would have gotten a 9. It's just that price just, I think, is going to scare away a lot of people when they see that there's no RGB on those fans.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing.
Yep. So other than that, cool. It's great, right? So
yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Like, I've been a big fan of Trikes, and it's cool to see like different versions of their cooler too. Not just having just one.
Yep.
Which is, and,
they do offer a similar version with RGB fans, right? It's not like they don't. It's just this version here at this price is a little up there.
Gotcha. Well, I took a look at something that's pretty affordable. So here's the keyboard, Ryan. If you want to take a look, actually, I'll make myself bigger. So
that's pretty sweet.
How do I do this? I forget how to use. Oh, here we go. So here's a keyboard, right? This is a 65% keyboard.
Yep.
Mechanical, right?
Sounds pretty good.
PBT keycaps. Yeah. Like, see, like, I don't know if you guys can hear that.
Yeah.
But very good. 5-layer sound dampening, PBT keycaps, hot swappable, tri-mode. So it comes with a 2.4 gigahertz dongle, which is right here. and you can use it Bluetooth, you can use it wired, RGB lighting, even side lighting. There's side lighting over here as well. How much do you think this keyboard costs?
I knew that's what you're going to ask, and I didn't read this review, so I have no idea, but it's all those things have to add up. So like,
and it's heavy. Like it's now it is plastic, but like it is
right. It's heavy.
It's heavy.
I don't know. I mean, like I'm thinking a minimum is like 130, 129, 149.
You're not.
I know I'm going to be wrong.
You're not even remotely close.
Okay.
It's $47.99.
What? Okay. I didn't think it was going to be that low. Because every now and then you'll get one that sneaks in.
Oh no. No, I'm wrong. It's $50.99 right now on Amazon.
Okay. That's a good deal.
Yeah. It's $50.99 on Amazon. So this is the EvoMaker Aula F65. It is a 65% keyboard, and I couldn't believe how good it sounds. It sounds better than some like very expensive keyboards that I have. It sounds really good, and I think that's one of the main things. It's super comfortable to use. As you can see, like it has like a really cheap USB cable, but again, if you're using it wirelessly, it doesn't matter. Like I said, it is hot swappable, mechanical key switches in there. And I like the colorway. There's only two colorways available. And this is one of them. And I like the colorway.
Hold it back up on camera real quick. Can you hold it back up? It looks so, is it as blue as the pictures show? Because your camera makes it look a lot more gray.
Yeah, my camera, because of the lighting that I have here, is right. Not...
So the pictures in the review are more accurate. Okay.
Yes. But yeah, it's a 65% keyboard. And again, double shot PBT keycaps, mechanical key switches, which are hot swappable. Like there's side lighting, which I'll show you. Like, you know, it has this whole layer designed as well, which again, it gives it like, it's just like.
That sounds good.
Yeah, like it sounds good. Now there is no height adjustment, so you have to like the angle that it's set at. I felt it was fine. I've used this for a couple of weeks now. And again, you can switch between Bluetooth, wired connection and 2.4 gigahertz. Type C for charging as well as using it wired, and it comes with the dongle that I showed you. And I just can't get over the price. I think that's the biggest thing. Here's what it looks like, all lit up, per key RGB lighting. You know, looks good. And then you do get side lighting, accent lighting on the side. Now,
which switch did you have this on?
This is the.
Was it the Greywood or the Reaper?
It is. No. The Reaper mechanical switches.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, they are hot swappable, as you can see, really easy to.
So is that these. More like a red style?
Yeah. So
I didn't hear like a clicking. So
yeah. So it's a linear switch. Actuation force of 45 grams, and then
sweet.
Bottom out force of 55. And like I said, they're rated for 60 million keystrokes. It is a very comfortable switch. Feels good. I very comfortable, and I was really surprised. Like if you're somebody who does a lot of typing, this is going to be, or like if somebody like me, I do mostly typing and then like occasional gaming, right? Yep. You're going to love the sound of this. I think that's the biggest takeaway for me is the sound on this keyboard. The lighting's good, but again, you don't have like see-through keycaps or anything like that. So you're just going to get the shine around the keys. The software is very basic. It's nothing to write home about, but you can fully reprogram the keyboard and do all that stuff. It's nothing crazy or anything like that. But again, at the time I wrote the review, it was $47.99. It's $50.99. It's $50.99 now, which I still think is a good deal. Old man in the chat, he's all about keyboards. I'm surprised he doesn't have this one. It's a solid buy in my opinion. It sounds good and it's comfortable, and it's not like you can buy a scissor switch crappy gaming keyboard for around $50, or you can buy a full on mechanical tri mode keyboard with PBT keycaps for $50. So it's like, You know, well, I do have a full on typing test here in the review if you want to listen to it. But it sounds so good. It's one of the better sounding keyboards. I'm going to
pick the black version up.
Yeah, the black version is really cool. So let me bring
that. It doesn't have legends on the top of the keycaps, but they're on the front.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet. And it has like a gradient
color. Yeah. So the, how is this? Oh, that's a different one. I was like, how is it cheaper on AliExpress? That's just wild. So the, and it's even more expensive directly on EpoMaker's website, which is crazy. So the, why can't, so the black version has no legends, but the legends are on the front edge of the keys, and those are see-through legends. So it's a little bit different, but like I said, for the price and for the comfort, and the biggest thing for me is the sound, you cannot go wrong on this keyboard. Like, it's just that good. So I gave this a 9 out of 10. My only downsides is the cable that comes with it is super cheap. And I probably wouldn't use it. And it is plastic, like, and the top plate is a flex plate, so it's not metal. I'm gonna keep in mind, but it's still very comfortable to type on. And you only get two colorways. Like, I would have at least like a few other options, but like I said, for the price, Ryan, you should pick it up. I would recommend anybody to pick it up if you're okay with the 65% form factor, where you do lose a little bit of functionality compared to something like a 75. But I'm a huge fan. So,
nope, so yeah. I just added it to my cart.
Oh, look, we got it. We got a buyer already. There we go. So, yeah, check it out. Check out the review if you are interested. Check out that sound test that's in there. It just sounds so good. So yeah, definitely check that out. We'll move on to Case Mod Friday, and we're featuring a build this week that I got to see in person, and I just stumbled upon it at Computex, and I was like, what is this? And of course it was by AK Mod. And shout out to AK Mod, because like literally every brand had a build by AK Mod at their booth, if not multiple. I think he did like at least 15 builds at Computex.
Holy crap.
Yeah. He did so many. So this is called Luminarc. And as you can see, it is designed like a futuristic bow, which is awesome. But it's a full-on PC still. That works. And I believe this was at the Clev booth. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it was at the Clev booth.
Like, everything here is custom. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, like, I told AK Mod, I told him that next year I want to go see his studio in Taiwan.
That'd be cool.
So I might come in a few days early to go do
that. Okay, now that, I think this is my favorite part, is this vertical mount for the SSD there.
Yes.
Because it's like separate from the motherboard, and then it's got like the branding there, and then like a cable. I assume that's a cable connecting it to the rest of the system coming down out of the bottom, which I thought was awesome. And then just all the, like, again, the custom parts that might be 3D printed, but if they are, they are amazing. Like this, that clear blue plastic there. If that's 3D printed, those layer lines are invisible. So it could be injection molded, just with how nice it looks. Some of the other pieces could be sanded, I guess, but they just don't look to be 3D printed. So he's got resources as far as manufacturing.
Yeah, that's why I want to go see. That's why I want to go see his studio. Like, how does one create these?
Right.
And just, yeah, it's just so well done. It fits the theme. But the craziest thing is like, you see themed builds, right? We see themed builds all of the time. And then like this, the computer is like in a box in the middle of the whatever is being created, right? This, like, yeah, we have our system here, but like you said, the NVMe is here. And then our two radiators are actually up here and over here. And it's just like making full use of this, of the bow for the system, not just, you know, the center where everything's kind of together. Like, it, I just really like that.
I love that custom power cable too, that was in the back of the power supply. Yeah, it's just
amazing. this is amazing. So if you haven't checked this one out, definitely go ahead and do that. But yeah, it was so cool to see this in person too. Like to see one of these actually in person is, yeah. Yeah, so definitely go ahead and check this one out. Again, shout out to AK Mod. Just an excellent build. We'll move on to news. And this RTX 5090 scam is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So imagine, Ryan, you go to, you know, we think about scams as people who buy off third-party sellers, off scalpers, off eBay, off, you know. But yep. you go to Micro Center, and they have a 5090, and you're like, I saved up some money. I'm going to get a 5090. This is going to be my present to myself, or, you know, this is going to be my new gaming rig. I got a 5090, right? You take the 5090 home, and you open it up. And it, you know, the box feels like it's weight, yeah, you know, feels stuck, like the yeah. right weight. You open it up, and inside the box are backpacks, like just crunched down backpacks. That's what happened to somebody at Micro Center.
And it's not like this is an open box return, you know.
No, this is a brand new.
This is a shrink wrapped box.
Yeah. So it was filled with these, let's say, glamaholic lifestyle yeah. backpacks.
Yep.
And so this happens, and the guy contacted Micro Center. He posted on Reddit.
Yep.
And then he contacted, or Micro Center got in touch with him really quick, because they're like, what the heck? And then Micro Center did a investigation in these Zotac cards, 5090s. They found 31 that are exactly like this. So this is from the factory.
Yeah.
And again, when a retailer gets a pallet of graphics cards, they don't inspect the cards. They figure it's coming from the manufacturer. There's not going to be no cards in there. Like, and again, the boxes were filled with these like shrink wrapped backpacks that are probably around the same weight. And you wonder, like, is this just the ones that went to Micro Center, or like, are there some other places? Or, but it definitely, actually, I've been to this factory. So, actually like 5 years ago, or what was it? Almost 10 years ago now, 2016.
Right. Yeah.
I've been to this factory, and there's a lot of, cameras and things there. I don't know how you would go about making this switch. I mean, a lot of people probably had to be in on it, I would assume. But if you think about it,
especially to do that many of them,
at least 31 in this that Micro Center found. So these sell for, how much did these sell for? Yeah, so yeah, 2,600. So could be like $90,000. And I mean, $90,000 US in China, where this happened is a lot of money. So that's pretty interesting. And it would be very interesting to see how far this goes. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Kind of weary about buying a Zotac card, especially if you're buying it like online. Can't like open it up and be like, you can go to Micro Center and then like open it up and be like, hey, or go to Best Buy and like open it up there and be like, yes, what is this?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're buying from an online, even like Amazon, I'm sure Amazon would help you out, I would think, but
I'd hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of something scary. So hopefully Zotac figures this out, or, you know, but like I said, it's definitely at the factory level, which I don't know if have we seen something like this before at the factory level?
I just don't know how you do it. Like, that's a lot of cards to get out. Like, you're doing it one at a time. Are you doing it?
I mean, they're definitely doing it at like at night or something.
Yeah.
You know, there's like the stories of the Nike factory where like,
They make
all like same, like, you know why like the fakes look so good is because it's the same factory. They're just pumping out the fakes at nighttime. Maybe it's the same type of thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know, but it's a wild story. So we'll keep you guys updated on what kind of comes out of this, but I believe,
I kind of agree with this, is that it's probably actually in the supply chain somewhere outside the factory.
Yeah. Old man says it was somebody in the supply chain. I suspect an employee in the supply chain. Yeah. It is pretty, like I said, it's probably one of the craziest. We see all these stories over the years about people smuggling cards and doing this, but this one's pretty crazy. But I believe Micro Center, of course, got this person a 5090, you know, they accepted their return and they weren't like, you know, and again, they did the internal investigation, which is a good thing as well.
Right, so, which helps a ton. Yeah.
Yeah. So you shouldn't go to a Micro Center and pick one of these up and have the same thing happen to you. So that's good. Talking about NVIDIA and new graphics cards. So we just had the 5060 Ti and 5060. Looks like we're going to get a 5050 in July with GDDR7. $200. Around $200. Will you be able to get it for $200? Don't know. Definitely going to be that 1080p card, 60 to 80 FPS, I'm guessing. Around that.
Yeah.
It's going to be better than, it might actually be on the same par as like a new AMD APU, actually. Could be. I don't know. But we'll see. But that's kind of expected. I mean, we didn't do a 4050, did we? No. So I think with the increased pricing, I think, again, NVIDIA is just trying to squeak out every little thing.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see what comes of that. Also, some pretty cool new graphics cards were announced. Now, I remember that Cyclone GPU we talked about that I saw at Computex that had the LCD fan. Well, they're actually coming out with a 5060 that it's Cyclone. No LCD in the fan, but it's this 5060 Cyclone graphics card. What are your thoughts? What do you think?
I don't like it.
It springs back the days, bro.
It brings back memories, but it's not good. Like, I don't like the look of it at all. Like, when the and you see it right there, it looks so cheap. It's back in the days on the click the other picture there with like everything. No, with all the pieces apart. Yeah. Like when the fan body like screwed into just like a crappy aluminum heat sink, that's exactly what it looks like here, because you can see the holes where the fan screws in.
But you don't need that much cooling. It's 5060.
Look at those fan blades. They're like old technology. I don't like this at all.
Okay. I'm a fan. Maybe I'm just old.
You can
and I like the nostalgia. Yeah. But yeah, so they came out with that one. Well, so these are small cards, small form factor, yeah, right? So like maybe you want something a little different or like slightly
different. If it's that Zotac card, I do.
Well, this is similar. So This is the MSI also has an Inspire ITX, which is made for small form factor builds, 5060.
I do like
single this. Fan. And it's a new fan. It has the outer ring, yes. So it's new tech.
Still the semi-crummy heat sink underneath there, it looks like.
Yeah, it looks like the same heat sink.
Too much solid. It's just a solid aluminum, you know, piece that's been milled. But
it's this gold color. So you like this one a little bit better?
Oh, yeah. 10 times better.
Okay, so there's that one. Now, Asus didn't put out a small card. They have a larger card. They have a ProArt RTX 5080.
Yeah.
But it's not like the other ProArt cards we saw. It's a little different because it has wood on it.
All right.
So it has wood on it, has an integrated M.2, and it has Type-C.
Okay.
So remember we used to have Type-C? Was that 2020 series?
Yeah, because my 2070 has a Type-C on the back.
Yeah, so we used to have Type-C. So they're bringing Type-C back.
Coming back.
Well, at least for like, I'd say a lot of good monitors are Type-C or Thunderbolt. It's like color accurate monitors, not gaming monitors. Like color accurate monitors, a lot of them will be Thunderbolt or Type-C. So this is a ProArt card designed for designers and you know, stuff like that. So the wood is interesting.
The wood's only that top section, right? Next to, it's not the whole shroud. It's just that top area above the gold line.
It's hard to see because this is a render, but yeah, it should be like this entire, and I would think it goes around, like this part goes around to the top.
It worries me a little bit just with like humidity and how wood can react to humidity and temperatures.
I'm pretty sure it's real wood. It's unclear.
Just like expanding and contracting, right? So you got pretty tight tolerances around those fans. Not too crazy, but just that kind of worries me with when you introduce wood, especially in a part that's got a lot of temperature fluctuations. It looks cool. I like it.
There's no information on the page yet. It's just this page with this photo, and it doesn't even say.
Just says wood grain finish.
So, I don't know. Interesting, though.
Yeah.
It's nice to see some like different cards come out. I'm a huge fan of like not seeing the same thing. So that's pretty cool. So those are the new graphics cards. Oh, one more on the AMD side. So Power Color came out with a Red Devil SE. The cool thing about this one is that it has magnetic backplates.
I like that look.
Yeah. So this backplate is just a magnetic piece that you put on. And I was kind of worried about this because I was like, if it's magnetic, you're not getting any cooling on the backside of that card, right? Because it's not necessarily going to sit flush because you have to have magnets there. But it looks like, at least in this image, that there is a metal backplate, and then this magnetizes onto it.
Right. Yeah. On the right image, it looks like it sits up off of it just a little bit.
Yeah. And I'm a bigger fan of that. But I like the idea of like, let's have magnetic backplates. Maybe, they'll have a couple ones you can buy, but then maybe they can put that design out there, or put the specs out there where you could 3D print your own, or they'll allow other people who make custom backplates to make custom backplates for it. I would be a huge fan of that.
This is a good looking card too. I have a Red Devil, like an RX 580 Red Devil, and it looked okay, but like they're more modern ones, or
they look nice with like the end cap and everything. We have Nelson in the chat. We haven't seen Nelson in a while.
I know.
So good to see you. Hope everything's good in Florida. One of my good friends is actually in Florida right now. So, good to see you in here as well. But yeah, so those are the graphics cards. It's kind of all the new graphics card news. Now, ASRock, as we talk about as the sponsor of this episode, they did have issues with Ryzen 9000 CPU failures. And it was highly documented, especially by Gamers Nexus. And Gamers Nexus confronted them at Computex and got answers, which I love about Gamers Nexus. They do all these kind of things. And we have a whole video talking about it. ASRock is now offering warranty and BIOS fixes and things like that for these issues. And they discussed the whole thing. So if you want to watch the video, it is in the article about it. But great reporting by Gamers Nexus, obviously. I have no clue how they had even time to go do all this, because like Computex was, at least for me, like my first year, it was really wild. But they were able to sit down and talk to ASRock about it. So yeah, and it's good to see that ASRock is acknowledging the issue and then fixing the issue, or at least trying to fix the issue. I think that's the big thing too. And they're offering fixes, and they're also offering like warranty and things like that. So I think that's a good thing. So check out the article as well as the video by Gamers Nexus. Now, Switch 2. Is that what you did last night? You said you were busy. Did you go to the store and get a Switch 2?
No.
Oh,
I did not. I did not go to midnight release for that.
Okay. Well, I know a couple of my friends went to midnight releases. It was kind of cool to see a midnight release. We'll talk about that at the end of the podcast, but it was cool to see a midnight release. I was
just reading something earlier where they're like, did anybody buy these? Because people were saying like there was no lines at some places. Some places had lines.
I saw
people went back later in the day and they still had stock. So I don't know what the status is.
Well, maybe because Nintendo's kind of locking this machine down.
I heard.
Yeah, so it looks like Nintendo is blocking streaming apps on the Switch 2, which is kind of crazy because this is like a mobile device that like,
right,
like, you're going to take on the plane, you're going to take on your commute, and like you don't want a game all the time. And
what was their support? Did they have streaming apps on the regular Switch?
I don't know.
Because we have a Switch. I mean, I guess my son only uses it for gaming, so I don't really know. But I didn't realize that they had those but apps previously.
They said, like, software, they put out this thing, software that can't be used on the Switch 2. Hulu, Crunchyroll, were two that were named. And it seems like Nintendo wants to lock this down so you can't use certain things, which is kind of crazy. Because, like, if it's my machine, I can install whatever I want on it. As long as it's not, like, an illegal emulator or, like, you know what I mean?
Now, you're using the machine, right? Like, that could be a selling point for somebody else. Like, if they see, oh, yeah, I can play games on it.
Like, do you remember
the videos, right?
Do you remember the consoles? Like, the Xbox and PlayStation were, like, one of the cheapest ways to get a DVD player. And, like, when Blu-ray came out,
PS3.
PS3 was, like, the cheapest Blu-ray player that you could buy, and that's why people bought it. Because you got a gaming machine.
I had one.
Plus Blu-ray.
Exactly. I just remember the Wii, the original Wii. If you could do Netflix on there, and it was like was it a disc you had to load first? I feel like there was like a Netflix disc for the Wii. Anyways.
Yeah. But maybe, we're not sure if this is like actually the case, but maybe Nintendo wants Hulu and a Netflix and a Crunchyroll to pay a licensing fee to have their app on the Switch. Maybe that's the issue. I don't know. But if it's just like strictly gaming, that's not, we don't live in that like era. It's more than capable enough to stream videos. You know, it's not like it's essentially a tablet.
Yeah. Because the original Switch didn't support Netflix either. But yeah, old man says GameStop was stapling receipts to the Switch 2 box and destroying screens in the box.
Pictures That's hilarious.
I heard about that. And then I also heard something about the screen where it has an integrated like film on the screen
that
some people were trying to peel off, but it's actually a protective piece so that if the screen does break, it doesn't shatter everywhere.
Yeah, so it's an interesting release. I haven't really... some of my friends got it. Some fellow creators got it. I'm not going to get it. I didn't have the original. I just got a mobile gaming console, you know, a Lenovo Legion Go S. So I don't have a need for it. But we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes with the Switch. I don't like the idea of anything that I use being locked down. I'm just not a fan of that. So we'll see. Talking about mobile gaming. Now the GeForce Now app is available for the Steam Deck, native app on the Steam Deck. So if you have GeForce Now, you can now run it natively on your Steam Deck. So that's a good thing. If you want to, you know, play pretty much any game you want, you can do that on the Steam Deck and you don't have to worry about performance because you're streaming the game, which is pretty cool. So, and then finally, one of the most popular mice. I have it. I have the white one.
No, you do.
I don't use it because it's
you
not
always my do this. You're always like, oh, I got it around here somewhere.
I can go. I can see it. You want me to go get it? I'm going to go get it.
Go get it. Yeah, because you're always like, oh, this drive or this, that. Ugh. All right.
So this mouse is the Logitech MX Master 3. This is the white one. It's too heavy. Like I'm a lightweight gaming.
It has its place.
It has a lot of really cool features. And for some people, this is the MX series. And I used an MX, maybe the first one for like years. I mean, it was a really, really good mouse. Just it's very ergonomic. It's very comfortable. And for so many people, this is their favorite mouse. If you watch what's on my desk videos on YouTube,
those are on there all the time.
Every one of those YouTubers are like, oh, it's the Logitech MX Master 3. The side scroll is actually really intuitive. Really like that too. Anyways, this is one of the most popular mice to ever come out. I don't even know when this actually came out, like the 3, but it's been out for a while. And then Logitech put out this picture on their Instagram. And it says their summer kickoff. This is from their Instagram. And then there's this picture of this mouse. And it's not an MX Master 3. And people are saying that Logitech took this down. It wasn't like they left it up. They took it down. And they're saying that this is the new MX Master 4 coming out.
That'd be cool.
So, yeah. Don't know if that's actually the case. But could get a new one. And it will probably be everybody's new favorite mouse if this is your thing. When I got this, I was like, maybe I'll like heavy mice again, but I just was not.
No, it's comfortable. Yeah. I mean,
it's very comfortable. And like the scroll is one of my favorite scrolls. Yeah. Not even the side scroll, just like the normal scroll is one of my favorites. And it's so easy. Like it has the tri connectivity as far as like you can connect it to multiple Bluetooth devices at the same time and you can switch quite easily. Like it's really, it works so well. Yeah. So yeah, we'll see if that actually comes out. Corey, you got the MX Master 3 for $30.
That's a good deal.
This is like 130. Like this is one of the few Logitech products that like really has kept its value too. Like it's been like 130 since it came out. I mean, it's just been that price. So that's a really good deal if you got it for $30. But we'll move on to what we have coming up next week. I will be taking a look at another portable SSD, and this is the Crucial X10. You're like, wait, Crucial X10 has been out. No, this is a Crucial X10. The X10 Pro has been out. So this is a more affordable version. But the cool thing about this one is available up to 8 terabytes. Nice. Still going to be super fast. They don't even have any information. Oh, no, they do have some information on it. Okay. I thought they didn't. So this one will go up to 2100 megabytes a second. So super fast storage on the go. It's very small. The big difference is that the outer casing is more plasticky, whereas this one, this is the Pro. The Pro is more of like a metal, kind of the difference. And then internally, it's a little bit different as well. So I'll talk about that in my upcoming review next week. Corey said he got it in a pawn shop. That's actually a solid pawn shop.
MX Master 3S.
Yeah, that's what this is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good deal. Have you, well, actually, we'll talk about that. Have you ever gone, I've been to a pawn shop once in my life. Gone to a pawn shop? I know you like buying stuff. Like, have you ever bought computer stuff at a pawn shop?
No.
Yeah,
I would never. I don't think. No. I bought comics at pawn shops.
I can see you doing that. You know, it's funny. You're talking about pawn shops. I saw this video. I don't know if it's, I think it's fake, but some guy was at Goodwill and there was like a Citizen box, like, you know, Citizen watch, but then he opened it up and there was a Rolex inside. I don't know if that's true. I think it's just like a fake thing. But,
right.
But yeah, but I mean, that's kind of like what Corey found, like $130 mouse that brand new.
It doesn't surprise me. I 100% believe him because I got a multi-$100 comic at a pawn shop in town for $1. So like,
wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was a question, but another question for our question of the week is did you go to any midnight releases? What was the last midnight release that you went to?
Yeah.
Talking about gaming. Cause if you guys don't know, if you're young and you're watching this podcast, when games came out and you couldn't download games,
you had to go get the disc.
Whether it was a console or PC, you had to go to the store at midnight, and there were midnight releases, and it was a lot of fun because you would meet. Yep. And this is like a lot of this was pre social media.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't pre internet, but it was like pre internet communities. So you would because you're waiting in line because you wanted to be the first one, whatever. You're waiting in line for hours and you're meeting other gamers. And it was super cool. And it was like at GameStop or maybe Best Buy or some other places. But anyways, what was the last midnight release that you went to?
I feel like it was probably like I went to get like maybe the first and second expansions for WoW. Get collector's editions.
Yeah.
For Burning Crusade and Frozen Throne. Not Frozen Throne, that was a Warcraft 3. It's over there. Whatever it's called. Anyways, I think those were probably the last midnight releases that I went to. Now, before that, like, I think, like, Battlefield 2 and Call of Duty 4, like, Modern Warfare. But past that, now everything, like you said, is, like, you can pre-queue, download it before it's even available, and then it just unlocks at a certain time, and you're good to go, right?
And you can buy, like, early access, too.
Yeah, and the other thing about, like, those midnight releases was for a while, it was like, okay, you get the version on CD, and it's, like, six CDs, and you're, like, shuffling disc, and then DVD became the new standard, and you're like, oh, it's only one disc now, and it's so much faster, and, you know, for a while, they had to offer both, because not everybody had a DVD drive in their computer. Like, yeah, all those things that you just don't even think about anymore.
Yeah, I think my last one was for, I think it might have been Gears of War 3.
Okay.
I mean, that's the last time I remember getting it. That's
it's just not a thing anymore, because outside of like a physical piece of hardware, if you want like a collector's edition that's only available at a store, right? Or a console like the, you know, the Switch 2 that just came out, where you have to go get it. I don't know. I think with the Switch, like a console or something, I just try and order it and have it delivered that day. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like I said, I do remember Gears. I like it was always Gears and Halo were like the big ones for me. And then like PlayStation 3, I remember going out with a buddy. I wasn't getting it, but a buddy was. I believe that was a big one.
I didn't do a midnight release for the Wii, but the Wii was like so popular that
I might have done one. I don't remember because I remember picking the Wii up too. And
I would get the like the Sunday newspaper and I would look at the Best Buy ad and you could kind of tell it had said like they'd show the Wii in there and they'd say like minimum 5 per store type of thing. So you'd be like, okay, so they are going to have some this week. So then you'd go, you know, because the paper would come before the store opened. So you'd like see that and then you just had to go and get in line. And I just happened to be like close enough in line for that restock to get it.
Yeah, that was the thing too. I remember when like, especially like when consoles released, there was only like, Ryan and I, when I used to live in Pittsburgh and Ryan lives in Kansas, like there is probably Best Buy or GameStop or like the only places you could go for like
back in the day. Things.
Yeah. So like Best Buy, like a plate, like I say, like a PlayStation 3 launch or an Xbox 360 launch, like they had 10.
Right.
And you had to get it. You had to be in line and there was people waiting for days. It was like, it's just a whole thing. It doesn't exist anymore.
People camped out.
Yeah. Old man says, I bought the Dreamcast at midnight. That would have been a fun midnight release. That was such a, that console changed every, like it was just such a game changer. And then old man also says, I bought the Skyrim limited edition that came with a dragon figure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I miss like the limited edition big boxes and stuff too. They were always so cool.
I just bought four collector's edition WoW sets at an estate sale like a month or two ago for like super cheap. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Nelson says, will you do a review on the Corsair 9000D? I'm looking to get a white one. But paint it red and yellow, make it look like Iron Man. Mm-hmm. Probably not, because that case has been out for a while. But it's a good case. I know it's a good case. It's a big case. And I think, making it red and yellow would be really cool as well. And then Old Man says, Deathloop is free on Epic. So if you want to go ahead and pick that up,
Borderlands is free. Borderlands 2 is free on Steam, he says.
Corey says, what's your opinion on the new Nintendo Switch 2? We talked about it a little bit. For me, I just don't have a use for it. And I haven't really played any like, so there are Nintendo specific games that are like made for the Switch. It's going to play everything, obviously. But for me, I really don't have like a commute. I have been traveling a little bit more this year, but still I'm not like, I don't need a gaming experience, whether I'm on the plane or like waiting at the airport, I can watch something or just scroll social media. I mean, but I think if you don't have a Switch and you're looking at a gaming console, how much is it?
I thought it was
$299. Yeah, so it's cheaper than like than I would say almost all of the Windows-based gaming consoles. So
It is $449 Yeah. Or you can get it with the Mario Kart, and it's $4.99 then.
Yeah, like I said, for me, it's just maybe I'm just old, you know. So it's just not my cup of tea. But I think it's going to be a good device, NVIDIA powered. Probably down the line, you'll see a bunch of hacks and ways you can install other things on it.
Yeah.
And I thought the Switch was a good form factor. It's not too big. It's not too small. It's kind of, if you want to play game, it's like, if you need a mobile gaming console, are you going to pick up that over either, if you want to go up in price to like a Steam Deck or ROG Ally, or something like that, or you don't want to go down in price to like the, what is it? The Ambernix, the basically the little emulation machines. You could do one of those if you just wanted some more basic gaming. It just depends on what you want to do. But yeah, that is essentially it, guys. We ran over an hour again. Always lots to talk about, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
I would say the weeks where it goes long are better because we get a lot more to talk about. And a lot of really interesting stories this week. Awesome reviews by both of us as well. So check out the site for all that stuff. And again, not everything we post on the site we talk about on the podcast. We only select certain things. So there's so much more news and everything like that. Next week, we should have a guest, so stay tuned for that as well. Of course, it is Wednesday. And what does Wednesday mean, Ryan?
Nope, it is not Wednesday. It is Thursday.
Thursday, wow. I think I'm still...
You're on Taiwan time
still. Yeah. Well, no, it's Friday in Taiwan, so they're ahead.
Yeah, you're true.
But no, it is Thursday. We skipped a day because I didn't have power yesterday. But it is Thursday. That means we're gaming, and we're going to be on Twitch. So Ryan runs that stream. twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Go there. Ryan's gonna have that stream up momentarily, and we're gonna be gaming for a little bit. So like I said, stay tuned for next week, and we will see everybody next week.